Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
That's right, Max. We was able to get game one, and we haven't finished off anything yet.
Shaq? Whose voice was
going to say
that's Shaq?
LeBron. That's LeBron. Trying to do LeBron, right?
Huh?
That LeBron?
I think that was AD.
That was AD.
Oh, what's it?
Do Shaq.
No, man, leave Shaq alone.
He's doing impressions now.
You've done it before, not me.
I don't want Big calling me and complaining.
Do Dylan Brooks. No, do the Memphis Grizzlies.
Do Dylan Brooks.
Do the Memphis Grizzlies.
Do the Brooks now. Hey.
Memphis Grizzlies. We're not bringing Dylan Brooks back under any circumstances.
Nope. That means no, no matter what you do. Even if you said, I'll do it for the veteran minimum, they like, nah, we good.
So Jimmy Joe Pesci from Chicago, we know him. He's a regular caller. Wants to respond to Mark's call. Remember, Mark, earlier in the show, went at Jay.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
For he felt an anti-Lakers
don't do it
position. Jimmy Joe Pesci, what's
going
on?
You didn't call in your guy, Joe Pesci, did you, Max?
The Chicago guy.
Blessings on blessings, young kings. I'm here. Let me tell you something about that guy, Mark, man. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say something right now. Listen up. That guy is not a fan, man. He's not a fan. I'm going to tell you what he do before the Lakers come on. He go get his hat, he go get the saddle and his boots, and he rides, man. He rides. He arches his back a certain way, and he rides.
Joe, which direction are you going, Joe?
Wait up. All you guys do is praise LeBron. Always. LeBron loses, he doesn't have nobody. LeBron wins, oh my God, look what he's doing. Hashtag ESPN.
In other words, Jimmy Joe Pesci, we've described reality. Like, all we're doing is describing. Usually, you give LeBron something, he works with it.
He's not challenging us.
Keep the same energy when he loses. When he loses, oh, where was LeBron? Y'all make excuses. Oh. ESPN, I don't know what that guy Mark is watching.
When has LeBron lost when you've given him anything?
What you said?
When has LeBron lost when you've given him anything? I mean, like, lost in the finals, but lost early in the playoffs when he's had something to work with.
I can't listen. I say this with the utmost. This is not my job, so I don't have the computer for him. Every time he loses, there's excuses all over. But when he wins, oh my God,
Joe, people have annihilated LeBron for not making the playoffs before.
Not ESPN.
What are you talking about?
Or Charlie Shopping.
Jimmy, check this out.
I'm right
though.
Here.
No, check
I'm
this
right
out.
Here.
No, slow down though for me, real quick. We can't answer for ESPN other shows. All we can answer for is what we say. On this show, I can't tell you what Max says on This Just In or what they say on NBA Countdown. Or we can't answer for what they say on SportsCenter. All we can do is answer for what we see. And as I said, LeBron James had a horrible game, okay, compared to his standards. And he's had a horrible playoffs shooting the basketball. And Anthony Davis is the reason that we are in this position. So if you're listening to the show, you would know that that's being said. There is no praise for LeBron when they won. It was praise for Anthony Davis.
And Jimmy Joe, by the way, a couple of days ago in game five when LeBron was trash, we said LeBron was trash.
He looked 89, he looked not
horrible.
39.
We all came on the show and ripped into LeBron about it. Just seemed like he quit on his team that day. So
let's go. Hey, Jimmy Joe. Let's go back to Dylan Brooks.
I need to talk about my man Dylan Brooks.
Talk about Dylan Brooks. Enough of this nonsense about LeBron. He gets criticized when he deserves it.
I feel Dylan Brooks was doing a little antagonizing. I don't think it came from an evil place. I don't think it came from a malicious place. It came from, I looked at it like entertaining. Imagine, and I say this again, imagine if everybody in the NBA was respectable as Jay Williams or a Mac. If you didn't have him, if you didn't have the Terrell Owens, if you didn't have the Deion Sanders. How bland will sports be?
Hey, Jimmy. One thing. The names you just mentioned. Who'd you just mention? Deion Sanders. And who else?
Terrell.
Okay. Owens. How talented were Deion Sanders and Terrell Owens? The talent allows you to accept the personality.
Yeah, Dennis
and what
Rodman
I'm trying to tell
wants.
You, like, Dylan Brooks is not Dennis Rodman.
Right.
Dylan Brooks is not Bill Laimbeer. Dylan Brooks is not like, he's good defensively, but the extra stuff outweighs the talent. It's not the other way around. That's the problem with Dylan Brooks.
Right. That's the disconnect. But like, still, I like having characters like that.
I
it's
agree.
Nice to have a character.
But like everybody's like,
oh,
3-and-D guys. I'm like, you get to make threes.
Yeah, he's a D guy.
You're
just
not a
three.
Guy.
He's
you're
just
not
a regular
three and D guy. Key.
Yeah.
A 1-and-D guy.
Yes.
Nick in Dallas, you're on KJM.
Sorry, Jimmy.
Good morning, y'all. How y'all doing?
What's up?
Good morning.
What's up,
can y'all hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, what's cool? Hey, yeah, good morning. I fight on, Key. By the way, fight on. I'm from California.
Fight on. Always, man. Always.
Watching that game, it's just game one. You know, I'm a Lakers fan. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, it's gonna sound weird. I'm a Curry fan too, but it's just one game. I'm looking at the stat sheet, and J-Dub, you made a good point. The Warriors, I think what they made was a 19 threes.
Yep, they made 19 threes.
But the free throw disparity, I was like, wow. Lakers were aggressive. My thing is though, moving forward, I can't trust Reeves, Schroeder, and Russell. I think they scored a combined 48 points. Can you honestly think they're gonna get them points, at least average close to that for the remainder of the series? Because we all know this though, AD's gonna get his. We all know that. I just think from the standpoint is LeBron's gonna play in spurts. You know, Curry and Klay gonna get theirs. I look at and Wiggins too, but I just look at it as I just can't trust the supporting cast of the Lakers outside LeBron and AD, because that was the game that the Lakers had to get with the Warriors coming off that grueling 7-game series with Sacramento.
Good point.
That's my take on it. But
hey,
I could be
Jay,
wrong though.
Jay,
yeah,
I could be wrong.
Math real quick in your head. How many playoff games is this for the Lakers this year? This year, just this year. What did they do with the first series? Was it five? It went five?
Seven.
Oh, well,
so
you count
the two play-in games, seven.
So
seven
this is a, so that was seven playoff games.
Yeah.
And out of the seven playoff games, they lost one?
Well, this is the eighth just now, right?
This was the eighth that just happened.
So they played in
So eight. Yeah. Out of the eight, they lost one, right?
No, two, because they lost the first play-in game.
No, they didn't lose the play. Did they lose the first playing game?
Yeah, didn't they play two playing
games? No, they did seven. How did they lose
they
the
went
first
to,
playing
the,
game?
The series went to six with the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Oh, pardon me. Pardon me. They won the playing game, right? Sorry.
Yeah, they won their playing game. So it went to six, so they lost two games to Memphis?
Yes.
They lost two games in Memphis?
Yes.
So they won six games with the supporting cast. That's my – because he was saying he can't trust them.
Well,
but
no,
they won.
They're winning
well,
most of their games.
Well,
in other
Key,
words.
It's and this is why we talk about styles. Like, and that's why off the top I said this is going to test the mental discipline of their guards defensively, and we'll see as we kind of get into this series more what that does to the legs of them shooting wise, right? Because they do draw so much attention to the paint. When you're playing Memphis, Memphis's style was, you could stand around and watch. It was going to come to a high ball screen with John Morant. Like, you knew what it was, right?
So you're not using as much
energy. You're not, like, you know, watching Austin Reeves, watching Dennis Schroeder, watching Jared Vanderbilt, like, run through all those screens constantly. Like, there's a cumulative effect that comes along with that. Like, and they played extremely well. They were disciplined throughout the course of the game, which is why they won. And they dominated. You just wonder, can they sustain that high level and still make shots from the outside? Or does the cumulative effect come into play where their legs start getting heavier later into the series?
Well, they did a good job. One thing that Coach did is he did a good job of switching up the individuals on Curry. I know Vanderbilt gets a lot of the credit.
Schroeder,
yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. But Schroeder was on him some. Reeves was on him some. Even to a point where AD, for whatever reason, slid out and was on him at times. So the Lakers did a good job of confusing, if it was confusing him at all, on who would pick him up in certain situations.
Yeah, they're going to muck up the coverage. So, at first, they were doing a lot of drop coverage, which was working. I mean, I've killed drop coverage over the last several days with some of these teams. We saw Al Horford do it against James Harden when James Harden went up for 45, right? So, but the difference is when you have a bigger guard like Vanderbilt who is trailing you behind, it makes you shoot forward. Like you have to lean because you're worried about the size discrepancy from the guard blocking your shot from behind. But you're going to see them switch. You're going to see AD on Steph in the perimeter because they're going to give you a variety of different looks.
You have to
mix it up.
And a couple of times when they were on him when he was missing shots, he was shooting rainbows because he had to get it up over. Yeah, up over.
The same way we saw Golden State play
a lot of
the same way we saw Golden State play zone in that fourth quarter, which threw the Lakers off, which is what allowed them to go on that 14-0 run.
I want to go back to the supporting cast and trust issue for a second. Because I mentioned earlier in the show, D'Angelo Russell scores 15 points. They have 5 wins in these playoffs. When he's under 15 points, they have 2 losses. And he's their third best player, right? But who's the guy you trust most among the non-LeBron AD players, among the supporting cast? Who's the guy you trust the most?
On what level? Offensively or defensively?
Probably. I mean, right now it's Austin Reeves.
Me too. I think he's the guy I trust the most.
I mean, I trust D'Lo too, but
he's on and off. He's streaky that way.
I mean, when he's on, he's on. But Austin Reeves, he'll take some shots that make you scratch your head. He do a little bit of, you know, he feel himself sometimes too. As much as I like him,
yes,
he feels himself sometimes too.
But I think he's earned it though.
I get it, but he
does feel though like you're as we get deeper into the playoffs, like you wonder about the talent level and the peak of that for Austin Reeves.
Yep.
Like it's like now we're into a different threshold, like stratosphere.
Everyone's smart,
exactly right.
Are you athletic enough?
So like
you're
watching it, and you're watching Clay come out the first couple possessions attacking Austin Reeves, and it makes you think like, all right, like D'Lo, like you may trust Austin Reeves more, but you may be more reliant upon D'Lo.
There's a reason D'Lo's pedigree.
More shots. Yes.
D'Lo's pedigree is what it is. He got drafted 2nd overall.
But Austin Reeves is such a thing as you growing into your own, as you know, Jay. Just because he was a 2-way contract guy in a D League and a free agent and all that, when you start getting that confidence in you feeling yourself, because clearly he was letting balls go last night. I'm like, oh, that's going in. You could tell.
That's the thing.
You could tell with his confidence that it just continues to keep growing. And the more you go in the playoffs, the bigger the stakes get. Now you need to raise, like Jay was saying, your level of play. So far, as Jay would say, all data. I use that word. Is that okay?
Data points. It's very compelling when Jay says data points. Like,
data points indicate that he can do it.
Hey, Austin, bottom line is some players you get a good feeling about. When they shoot, you're like, ooh, I feel good about this.
When it leaves his hands, I can tell you if it's going in.
But you feel good when he's going to. All right.
I don't like when he goes in the paint, though. He gets too many shots blocked. But that's
Yes, that's what Jay, I think, is talking about as you get deeper in the playoffs, right? All right, more of your calls on Lakers-Warriors. Plus, how sad is Jay today now that Jokic's MVP reign is over? 888-SAY-ESPN.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
888-SAY-ESPN, KJM, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Jay, Joel Embiid was officially announced as the NBA MVP after finishing second of consecutive seasons to Jokic, who, by the way, is up in his series and is available to play.
Oh, God.
Yates, don't let Jokic win the whole thing this year. It's going to be so bad for you.
Just want to state for the record, I am the lone soldier here not pooping on Jokic.
Yep, you
Jokic
and me both, is, Jay. Just
no,
you and me.
No, Max, what? You've hated on Jokic
just
too.
Me.
I don't hate on him, Jay.
Amazing.
I just don't.
I can say
Joel Embiid is the MVP while also saying that Nikola Jokic is amazing.
You cannot. You must choose a side.
You can say that.
No, you can't. You can't, Jay. I don't hate on him. He just puts me to sleep. That's all.
That's fine.
About to put the Suns to sleep.
Well,
night, night.
And that may be true.
Night,
night. They may beat an undermanned Suns team. That is correct.
Okay. Listen.
I mean, yeah,
it is true. Chris Paul ain't going to be around for a minute.
They said Chris Paul come back game five. I'm like, they may not see game five.
Yeah, they might not see game five. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. He puts me to sleep.
Why? What about him puts you to sleep?
You don't like watching those
passes?
Wait,
this is what I need to understand, because now I'm about to get like technical basketball-wise. What about him puts you to sleep?
It just don't look right, Jay.
What doesn't
like,
look
when I watch
right?
Embiid, I'm looking at Embiid's handles, his footwork. It just looked better to me. It just looks better.
It looks different. Doesn't mean it's better. It looks different.
I said it looks better, like what my taste buds like.
Key, have you watched the footwork of Jokic, though?
It don't look the same, Jay. I know. It just
why? Because it's
it looks slow. It looks lumbery.
It's not slow. His
it
footwork
looks slow,
is,
though.
His footwork is maybe.
Everything is lumber. That's just the way. Look, and I know
Embiid
I'm not the
it.
Only person that feel this way about how it looks, Jay. I know I can't be the only person.
I'm just saying it looks elite to me. It looks different than Joel Embiid's. But it's still the elite of the elite of the league. The spin moves, how he gets it, – it's like Joel Embiid is super athletic, and his skill set is that of a guard, of a dynamic guard, Key. Like, you like it because it looks like how Dame Lillard would be.
If he was 7-1 or whatever.
7-1, yeah. 260, right? And Jokic is like, hey, I don't play above the rim, but I have different angles of attack. And the footwork – is not like a guard. It's
See,
more like one of the most skilled Domantas Saboniss that you've ever seen.
That looks better
time.
Than me.
Like Arvydas Saboniss with
Sabonis
the passes.
With
yeah.
passes.
Yeah.
Again, that jumper
missing,
right
Sabonis.
There, that jumper right there looks better to me. It just do. And that's the only reason why I lean toward Joel more so than I do.
Yeah, because Joel reminds you of a guard. That's why.
Well, you asked me. I'm trying to explain to you.
The thing about Jokic that I love watching, Key, and look, I know you grew, did you used to watch This Week in Baseball as a kid?
Yes, Max.
Mel Allen. This Week in Baseball, right? Why did you watch? You didn't watch it for the home run. You watched it for Ozzie Smith, for those highlights, for those web gems.
I just wanted to see him flip.
Right. Like, yeah. To me, in basketball, that's the incredible pass. That's that slick pass. Jokic will hit you with those left and right.
Before we always go back and forth, Jokic, I just have to stop this conversation and say, I remember reading a story about Kevin Boyle, who used to be the head coach at St. Patrick's High School in New Jersey, who coached Kyrie Irving, coached Mike Gilchrist, coached a lot of incredible players, right? Then moved to Montverde Academy, which is another prep school, one of the best prep schools in the United States for talent. And I remember when he saw Joel Embiid play tennis. He saw him play tennis, Key, and was like, that dude has incredible footwork, and started molding him into the MVP of the NBA right now. Like, I sent you guys a picture of him as a skinny kid, like 16, like 15 years old from Cameroon.
Just learning how to play basketball.
Stick. To watch the maturation of the process, which is like the nickname now that's been attached to him, to see him come to this point where he finally got paid his dues, his flowers, for the way his game has been the last several years, I cannot be happier for Joel Embiid.
Jay,
he deserves it. every and
he's like a regular dude, just puffed up, right? Like he has the coordination of a regular sized dude, but he's just huge.
By the way, just note to self, the MVPs have been international players the last three, right?
Yep. So all bigs also, just, basically.
All bigs.
I mean, Giannis
Jay,
is close
to it. Let me ask you this because I really don't know. What does it mean in the NBA to get the MVP? Like, why do guys campaign so hard to be the MVP? Where in football, you don't see anybody campaigning to be the MVP.
I think it's just clout. It's just what comes along with it.
Uh-huh.
It's you know, in football, you guys have so many – it typically goes to the quarterback, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's more of a quarterback-driven narrative, whereas in basketball, any position, it's like
but
everybody
it
has the same shot.
But it does not mean you're the best player in the world because you're the MVP.
You've had the best season.
But you've are you the best player in the world doing that season? That you win the MVP.
Well, no, because and that's kind of that's one of the bigger problems with the MVP, which is why you've heard me key campaign to extend that conversation throughout the playoffs.
Vote for
and
Jay.
You can have a finals MVP. To me, that's different than the overall MVP.
Right.
But like, I need to see the entire body of work for me personally, because we devalue the regular season. We say all the time, like, well, like the narrative I heard you guys say about Jokic is, well, if he's MVP, like this guy gets swept in the playoffs. And I'm like, oh, okay, like that's a valid point. That's why I want to see the entire body of work. Now, I say that, still giving the flowers to Joel Embiid
what?
For getting his MVP, but I'd rather it be the entirety of the playoffs.
Wait until
the
whole
season.
Thing is over, and then
yeah,
say
should,
who do we think
be.
Was the best.
Because if
this
they
year.
Get bounced, well, you're gonna have the same thing for Joel Embiid. Where
no,
you're
well,
the same thing.
It should be at the end. It should be, but maybe they'll maybe they will change.
That said, guys, if it is at the end, wouldn't it be ironic? I think it would be if the last couple seasons Jokic gets the MVP, his team is not healthy in the playoffs, and so we really haven't gotten to see what he can do with a healthy team in the playoffs, and doesn't. You know, really, it doesn't get to the finals. And then this year, Joel Embiid finally gets it, even though all the advanced metrics have Jokic as the guy, right?
Yeah, but
he leads the league in every advanced metric, basically. And Embiid gets it, but because he's not available, let's say, they don't advance, and Jokic winds up chipping up.
Well, he's not available because he's not healthy.
Yep.
Like, health is – but Key and I keep trying to talk to you about this, Max. Like, you know – we keep saying not available, and that's the wrong narrative to push to people who watch our sport. Like, sometimes you can't be available because you're not healthy.
Yes, but that's part of it.
But it factors into how much luck comes into your team. Like, think about if CP3, like, were fully healthy, they may win game two. Like, but he's been on a lot of teams that just haven't been healthy, which goes back to, like, Kawhi, like, the health going into Toronto, playing through it. It's a major thing. It goes into anybody that has a chance to win. So much has to go right.
Yeah, but you also have to
– everything go right, man. Has to go
you,
right.
You have it's to everything. Evaluate. Like, there are some times where a guy gets healthy. That's just bad luck. There are other times where you're like, man, based on his history, you had to factor that in to the equation. Based on Chris Paul's history, you got to factor into the equation. He might not be healthy come playoff time at some point, right? It's just
not,
but Kawhi Leonard. Same
luck,
thing. You got to factor
Max,
that in.
That's bad. I know we got to.
It's bad luck every time.
Yes.
I don't think
yes.
It's just bad luck.
Wait.
I think some guys'
okay,
bodies
so let
break
me,
down
real quick.
More than other guys,
real,
and based
real
on their
quick.
History, you got to anticipate.
This will make you
games.
Laugh, then Max.
Hmm?
Why did I play with 17 different damn quarterbacks? Was it my fault?
No, that was bad luck.
Or is this bad luck?
That was bad luck. But I think you got to do it on a case by case basis.
Every team that I went on, it just happened that way. You don't play 11 years and get like 17 different
yeah.
quarterbacks.
You had bad
years.
Luck when it came
it
to quarterbacks, no doubt, 100%.
And that's with Chris Paul. He just gets bad luck.
Well, I don't know.
The
There's man, some guys who are more injury prone than
get
others.
Get us to
it's
the next segment.
Fault.
Get
it's
us to the next segment. Max, get us to the next segment.
How does it feel to be in the championship game in year one? That's coming up, KJM.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
KJM, we are presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Reggie Barlow, Super Bowl champion, DC Defenders head coach and GM is with us now, just named 2023 XFL Coach of the Year. Morning, Coach. Woo-hoo.
Reggie B.
Good morning. I see you, How's it going?
I see you, Reggie. Look at you, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys inviting me back on here. Obviously, it's good to see Keyshawn, you know, my homie, my boy. So thanks for having us, Matt.
So, Reggie B., how does it feel to go from riding a horse to the grocery store to playing that championship game?
Hey, you know what? Being from Alabama, man, you know, bro, we embrace our country living, right? We embrace that, but we are more happy for our coaches and our players and support staff that we've put together. These people have done a really amazing job of taking coaching, trusting the process, fighting with grit. We've had some close games throughout the year, and we found ways to pull them out and win them. So. Kudos to our players and our coaches, our support staff, man. Everybody's done a great job for us.
Reggie, I feel like, you know, all these years that we play sports, there's typically like an inflection point for coaches, for players, where they recognize, like, okay, I can do this at such a high level. Was there an inflection point for you throughout the course of this season where you recognize, yo, like, this is what I'm meant to do. This is who I'm meant to be as a head coach?
Yeah, I appreciate that question, but I won't say that it happened during this season. Like, I'm confident in who I am as a coach, and whether it's on the Division II level or FCS level, it's all about being a connector. It's all about communication. It's all about being structured and organized. It's all about identifying and developing talent, and we have had a real good history of doing that. So this was just an opportunity that our great owners and the executive blessed us with. It's about putting together a good staff, cohesive staff, and we've done that. We've had experience in that. So getting good players obviously going to make you good and better, and we were able to do that with the help of Vaughn Hutchins, our director of player personnel. And, again, we got amazing coaches. And about our coaching staff, I mean, we have so many HBCU guys that are on our coaching staff, right? So we're really proud of that. HBCU grads, guys who've been longtime HBCU coaches. So, but yeah, we've been confident in how we approach our coaching style and who we are as a coach.
Hey, Reggie, go ahead, Reggie B, how does it feel though? You wear two hats, right? You're the head coach and the general manager, but the head coach didn't let the general manager down. The general manager didn't let the head coach down. And now you've gone on to become coach of the year for the XFL. What does it mean knowing that you're wearing these two hats and how difficult the job is?
Yeah, I mean, you got to put yourself in a separate room. It's almost like, you know, and when we play ball there, if I was the zebra, right, if you needed a break and I need to go in for the X, I had to put myself in the X room, right? And all I was concerned with was the terms that are affiliated with the X, right? And it's the same way with this deal. When it's time to talk about player personnel. And I mean, Vaughn Hutchins, the guy, director of player personnel, I mean, this guy is amazing. We're able to talk through that stuff. There's no ego in that. And then when it's time to be, you know, to coach the X and O's, to talk about the practice structure and how we want that to go, then we're able to do that. And, you know, again, we've had great help. We got Greg Williams. Greg has been an NFL coach for a long time. Leaning on him, Fred Kice, our offensive coordinator, who's been a longtime college coach. But, you know, leaning on all these guys, and to be honest, Key, is asking for advice. Hey, what do you guys think? It ain't always got to be, here's what I want, here's how we're going to do it. It's, you know, let's talk this thing out. So I think a combination of all of that has worked out for us.
Reggie Barlow, Super Bowl champion, D.C. Defenders, head coach and GM. I don't know if there's a GM of the Year award, but what gives, Reggie? You're the GM too? Just the coach of the year? Shouldn't you also be GM of the Year? Do they have a GM of the Year award?
I don't even know if they have that, but I can tell you it should be coaching staff of the year, because we do have that. Our group of guys that we've assembled, a cohesive group, young, a mixture of diversity, old, young, highly experienced, some guys first time, you know, coaching on a professional level, or whatever. So, and then the players, right? It should be a team of the year. So it's really embarrassing to have that just associated with your name, because you know there's so many other people that donate their help and give their help, and that's critical to the success that we've had. So we'll take it, we'll appreciate it, and we will use it to continue to build our team.
Reggie, coach, your team, the D.C. Defenders, playing the Arlington Renegades May 13th for the Chip. That's 8 p.m. on ABC. Give us your thoughts.
Reggie, can we pull Key out of retirement?
Yeah.
You need some help?
Is he eligible?
Yeah, we're thinking about that. I know he has at least one hitch route in him, so we might be able to pull him up.
No, I don't
yeah,
think so,
but no, but I tell you what, Bob Stoops is the head coach of Arlington, and you want to talk about a football coach? This guy is an amazing coach, a Hall of Famer. He's built this team the right way. They have great players. They'll play hard. He's done a great job. All he do is win. I've always been a fan of his from afar. But getting a chance to know him now has been outstanding. Their defensive line is the biggest defensive line I've seen. Physical. They got their quarterback, Perez, is playing outstanding. So it'll be a huge challenge, just as it is always, man. This is pro ball, and you got to prepare and be ready to rock and roll.
Coach of the Year, Reggie Barlow, Super Bowl champion, and his D.C. Defenders against the Arlington Renegades for the whole ball of wax, May 13th, 8 p.m. on ABC.
Yeah, I hope. Good luck, coach. I hope that this wakes up athletic directors across the country, as well as presidents and general managers in the National Football League, to take a strong look at you for bigger and brighter things, though, Reggie. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. Again, it goes back to being structured, organized. It goes to being able to identify talent key. And although I've been at HBCU, we've had 23 guys that was either drafted, signed free agent, or developed and went to rookie camp that played for us, and they were all at HBCUs. Titus Howard, first-round draft pick. Tavares Jackson, quarterback, second-round draft pick. Three Super Bowl champions, Michael Cole, Nigel Carr, and Tavares Jackson. So we've seen talent. We know guys that can play on that level. We know how to develop that talent. And it will be outstanding when that happens, because we believe it's going to happen.
Thanks, Reggie.
All right, Reggie.
Good luck, Reg.
Appreciate y'all, man. Thank y'all. Take care.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Good morning, everybody. Packers and Jordan Love agree to a new deal. So Tuesday, that's yesterday, it's a one-year contract extension worth up to $22.5 million. But that includes 13.5 fully guaranteed. A source told ESPN's Adam Schefter. The agreement was reached just hours before Tuesday's 50-year option deadline. Look, I guess, you know, if you're going to make the guy your starting quarterback, it ain't going to be in, you know, it's going to be not going to be seven figures anymore. It's going to be eight. Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach, of course, at the press conference. I'll give you a guess. Do you think he's going to say he's not confident in Jordan Love's new quarterback, or that he is confident? There's only one way to find out.
We're excited for him. We've got a lot of confidence in him. I think he showed it in the limited action he did last year and just the ability to step in there. And the moment was not too big for him. You could see that. He was super poised. I think he's still got a ton of room for growth, and he's going to continue to evolve. It's going to be a process, but one that I know that he can handle.
That's what you asked me, Jay, right? You say, well, what makes me believe that?
Mm-hmm.
You can look at him like I said, man. Look at the poise. Look at the relaxation. There's no herky-jerky. When you look at – and I think I said this last year when Jordan Love took over for Aaron Rodgers in the Kansas City game. When you look at a Mac Jones, everything is – like you say in basketball, everything is – Mac Jones is like it rattled. Yeah. Jordan Love is nice and calm, poised. I know where to go with the football. I'm not under duress. It's just a calm feeling – in effect. And when he's delivering the football, he's delivering it in sync with rhythm off his back foot. I mean, he's doing all the things that you want to see in your quarterback. Now, look, the sample size is very small, but you can tell, oh, I think he's going to be okay. You can tell. Doesn't take long to look at somebody and go, okay, he might be okay.
We said it on the show before. Some players look right. He comes across that it looks right. Mm-hmm. Now, whether it can continue to be cooked and seasoned the right way over time, well, it's still to be determined. But the temperature of it feels good. Doesn't feel too hot, doesn't feel too cold. The way Aaron departed, right? It feels like expectations have been set about, like, yeah, now it's time for this franchise to grow with this player. And it's not unreasonable, yeah. Right? It's not like the bar is set up here.
But it is a little different than, say, San Francisco. Like, Key, early on, you were like, oh, Brock Purdy looks good, and I think we agreed.
But San Francisco is ready to win now.
No, I know that, but what I mean is Brock Purdy just has to be – can you at least be Jimmy Garoppolo, right? And he – look, man, it looks good. It kind of looks the same, maybe even a little better, especially so early on. But even though, yes, Key knows well, and I can hear the whole Parcellian stuff coming out, you can win a Super Bowl with a guy like that. You can win multiple – I get it. But he is following Aaron Rodgers, who followed Brett Favre.
Yeah, but that's the problem. But see, that's your problem. That's not LaFleur's problem. That's not Gutekunst's problem. That's your problem because you are the one that's pushing that on that young man, just like you were the one pushing it on Aaron Rodgers. They're not pushing it on him to become Aaron Rodgers.
Actually,
they want him to become himself to help them get to where they're trying to go. We just have seen Aaron Rodgers for 18 years or whatever it's been in that uniform quarterback in that team. So you're measuring him against Aaron Rodgers, which isn't fair.
No, it's not fair. It's just bananas how many similarities. Like, Aaron Rodgers gets drafted in the 20s. Favre is still really good. He plays another 3 years. Rodgers is holding the clipboard. Finally, after will I go, won't I go, flirting with that, they had enough. Okay, fine, go. He goes to the Jets. Same exact thing, right?
Max,
they won a Super Bowl.
Max, though, huh? That's just luck.
Right, but man, it's coincidence. It's an insane coincidence. 3 years of back and forth. Should I go? Not. Oh, finally they get sick after they drafted a guy in the 20s, right? And then he goes also after winning the Super Bowl to New York. It's just there's so many similarities. And after
so maybe
just
he
turns.
So maybe he turns into both of them.
That's what I'm saying. I think if you're in Green Bay right now, you got to be thinking you want, of course, just a nice, competent quarterback. You can win a Super Bowl, but there's a lot of expectations that go with that job.
Look, I mean, the pieces around him, too. Like, you got a young receiving core.
They
got
grow right with him.
That has grown over the course of this season.
Yep.
So you have a lot of things trending in the right direction as, like, a young franchise. Now you're like, I like the direction that we're moving.
And the reason that the Green Bay Packers elected to give him a one-year deal, Jay, is because they didn't want to pay the money on the fifth-year option. So they elected to say, hey, we don't want to not – do you good by saying, hey, we're not going to pick up the option. Here's a better option for us. Let's just do a one-year deal because we don't want to leave you out in the cold. If you wet the bed and we have to draft a guy, at least we're on the hook for $13 million. We're not on the hook for $29 million or whatever that number was. Something similar to what the New York Giants, they hedged their bet.
they said, we're not picking up the fifth-year option. And for my money, they lost out because they had to give Daniel Jones a long-term deal. In this situation, Green Bay says, we get a look-see twice. The second time around, that look-see is only $13.5 million if he does just enough for us to like him. And if he doesn't, we can go pick somebody else up, and the $13 million is high-level backup money anyway.
So Jordan Love, based on what you've seen, you think, yes, he can. He's going to be all right. You've seen enough now, Key, that you can make a snap judgment and say he is worth a nice long look.
Take a look at some of the highlights, Max, when you're watching him deliver the football. Yeah. You just look at a few of the highlights, and that ain't nothing but a few. That's a hand, five, four. But you can look at it and you can tell. Look at that. That's nice and easy. Bam, catchable football right in the chest. Quarterback, get it to him. He's able to get up in there. Now here's an RPO. Nice and easy. Didn't panic. Didn't trip over himself. Here he is against the Eagles, protecting the receiver, putting it slightly behind him. All of those sort of things is what you want to see.
So
now here he is. Look at that. Deep crossing route. Hits him right where he should at the numbers. Here he is again, right over the middle, protects him again. Now you say, okay, what does that mean? Well, if you put 60 of those type of plays on film and they all start to look like that, you know you got something. And they see him way more than we do.
No, Key, I get all that. What I want to know in the next 30 seconds is, what's the upside? Like, how good do you think he can be? I get you like the floor. What's the ceiling here?
I think he's a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. I think he's a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback that could potentially go a long ways if the rest of the team is following him.
Meantime, the Lakers take game one. The Lakers beat the Warriors in game one, and AD went off. Jay, going into this series, really liked the matchup for the Warriors.
Still do.
Has anything changed? Have you learned anything so far? Has your opinion changed? KJM.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.